You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, despite the global pandemic and its metastasizing impacts on economies across the world, the Harambee Entrepreneur Alliance recently welcomed its 14th class of African entrepreneurs who have collectively raised over $130 million worth of venture capital. That's around 2 billion rand. And following last year's launch of the Alliance's Prosperity Fund, the Alliance has made additional funding available to three African entrepreneurs that have shown promise during the pandemic. Now, the 14th class of Harambeans includes innovators in the healthcare sector, and one of them is Impulse co-founder Giancarlo Bierkus, as the company aims to bring affordable life-saving healthcare technologies to the market. And boy, are there many. Giancarlo, welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And we're also joined by Okendo Lewis-Gale, who's the founder and chairman of the Harambee Entrepreneur Alliance. Okendo, great to chat again.
Aloha, Michael. Great to chat with you again. We're still here.
And doing very well by the looks of things, despite the pandemic. Now, given the impact of the pandemic on Africa in particular, what is your view, Okendo, of the current state of the entrepreneurial ecosystem on the continent?
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you, Michael, once again for the opportunity to connect with your listeners. I have to say, you know, the Greeks had two words to refer to time. One is chronos, and the other one is kairos. And chronos is just marks the passage of time, right? What time is it? But kairos is about the time being mature, an opportune time. And I genuinely think this is the kairos of Africa's entrepreneurial ecosystem. We, over the last 12 months since we last spoke, we have seen innovators across Africa just get bolder. And as you alluded earlier, we're fortunate to have close to 5,000 applicants this year, and 30 of which have been admitted and have raised over $130 million. And it really speaks to the audacity of the ecosystem. And I think what I enjoy most about this moment of time is that if you remember, what Harambeans are attempting to do is build products and services not just for the 80 million Africans in the middle class, but the 800 million who are not currently participating in the global economy. And Mr. Bierkus, Giancarlo here, is a perfect example of a new class, because here he is attempting to build life-saving medical devices for people who cannot afford it. And if we are successful in South Africa, that is clearly of value to people around the world. And I think that's what makes the work of Giancarlo and so many of the Harambeans so critical to the success of the continent and, dare I say, the world.
It's a great story, Giancarlo. Just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your recent achievements in being selected as a member of this 14th class of Harambeans, because I see you've got a penchant for engineering, a mechanical engineer and a biomedical engineer from the University of Pretoria and the University of Cape Town. Just tell us a little bit more about your story.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thank you very much for the opportunity, Mr. Lewis-Gale. Thank you for that as well. We are a multi-medical devices company developing numerous technologies, and one of the things we try and do is make sure that we understand what the patients are actually going through. For example, we spend a lot of time in hospital waiting rooms where we try and engage with customers and patients. One of the days we were there, in walks a mother with her daughter, and the mom's quite frustrated because she needs to go back to work. And they've been waiting in the waiting room for quite a while. And we handed the daughter an asthma pump, and we asked her, just try and use it. The mother was quite frustrated because she's like, of course my daughter can't use it. She's only 5 years old. And this is a frustration that I have because I work 3 jobs. And, you know, when my daughter has an asthma attack at home or at school, I don't know who's going to help. I'm frustrated. I'm worried. And it's quite a weight on her mother's shoulders. So we then took our device, the Easy Squeezy, and we gave it to her mom and attached it to an asthma pump. The mother looked at it and said, okay, what does this do? And we said, hand it over to your daughter. She took the device and she was finally able to use her own asthma pump. But it was an incredible moment for us because we were able to see the impact of our technology in the hands of the actual patients. So the mom started to cry because she had this immediate sort of sense of relief knowing that her daughter could now use her own asthma pump. And it's not only a local problem, it's an African problem, it's a global problem. And this is what we're trying to do. The members of the Alliance are trying to find these solutions that can make a huge impact, not only here, but in Africa and the world as well. So that is what we do. We're trying to make sure that people can access these technologies, life-saving technologies, and it shouldn't be a matter of affordability.
Yeah.
It should be a matter of access.
And I mean, it's something as novel as that, a reusable sleeve attachment just to enhance the usability of a standard metered dosage inhaler sleeve, and how that can change a five-year-old girl's life. How do you then take an innovation like that as someone who, as a student, has studied engineering, mechanical engineering, biomedical engineering? How do you now pivot into the world of entrepreneurship and scale this up and now turn this into a business venture?
It has been an incredible journey, but my partner Gokumar and I, we have worked together to push this forward, and it's through relationships we've realized and found that, you know, businesses are built on people. So not only engaging with the customer and the patient, but, you know, members, like, for example, the members of the Alliance, our mentors, our advisors, people like Mr. Lewis Gale, connecting us to the right people that can help us understand how to essentially take this product, this concept, and roll it out to patients throughout the country, throughout the continent, and hopefully, and our goal and our aim is to get this into patients' hands around the world. So it's really about relationships.
It's so critical. You know, often when I chat to VCs, it's more than just funding. It's knowledge and it's networks. And that's why I think something like the Harambeans is so critical, so crucial here, because it fills not only the funding, but it's the networks and the knowledge that you tap into. Looking at COVID and the impacts of the current pandemic, how did that potentially set you back? What were some of the hurdles that you had to overcome with this business venture operating in an environment where everything just seemed to shut down, particularly as it related to medical services that weren't COVID related?
Without a doubt, was challenging. We had numerous challenges, including manufacturers that couldn't go in and sort of, you know, start to pump out our devices. So we looked at the different opportunities that were there. So, for example, we had the opportunity to register this easy squeezy device under SAHPRA. So we're excited to say that we are now a certified manufacturer, medical device manufacturer, which is typically a process that can be quite challenging to obtain this license, but fortunately we were able to do that. We were able to find investment partners such as Future Growth or Mutual, who have come on board as well to help us to take this technology, this business, to the next level. And also through this process, we were selected as part of the 14th class of the Harambe Entrepreneur Alliance. So we looked at the challenges, and yes, we understand there are challenges, but there are also so many opportunities. And we really, you know, took those opportunities and made sure that we achieved those goals.
Yeah, to what Akendo was saying about the Kairos of the time. Akendo, just to bring you back in here, obviously, and as we've discussed and as you've alluded to in the past, really at the forefront of building the future of Africa are a selection of these groundbreaking, innovative entrepreneurs, these jockeys that have a passion to solve problems, and we have a continent full of problems that need solving. Entrepreneurs who are already creating solutions that are affecting society. How does the Alliance provide ongoing assistance to these innovators? What happens once they become part of the class of the Harambeans ecosystem?
Oh, thank you, Michael. Well, one quick correction. You said that we have a continent full of problems, you know, for challenges. You know, for some Harambeans, they see nothing but opportunity. You know, I like to joke that, you know, there's the old age debate between optimists and pessimists. Optimists see opportunity in every difficulty. Pessimists see difficulty in every opportunity. Well, Harambeans see nothing but opportunity, and I think this is very much the case. When it comes to our ecosystem and what we attempt to do, you know, because we're fortunate to have a critical mass of the innovators across Africa who are shaping this space, right? I don't know if you noticed, but this month we actually had a Colombian declared tagged as a unicorn company, one of these companies valued at over $1 billion, thanks to the capital that they raised from Silicon Valley. And because we have so many of these, we think that our role as an alliance is to simply recycle that knowledge in a systematic manner, right? So as, if you're trying to figure out how to scale, how to build high-performing teams in the absence of a deep bench of expertise, well, we have, we're fortunate to have Colombians who built companies like Andela and Yoko and Spark Schools who can tell you how they did it. And that knowledge is very pertinent to your specific reality. And I think what we intend to do here is to very much, in a systematic manner, recycle that and build the trust and open the channel to communication with entrepreneurs like Giancarlo and other Colombians so that they can grow together and really help us scale and ensure that we have more unicorns across Africa.
Now, which is that unicorn you talking about with the...
Flutterwave.
Oh, Flutterwave, of course, of course.
Yes, of course. Oh, yes. You know, I'm busy writing a book right now, Michael. I'm still in my Capetonian captivity here in in the God's own city of Cape Town. And I am busy writing a book. And if it's successful, we'll have another name for African unicorns. So yeah, watch this space. Maybe I'll come back and talk about the book.
Fantastic. We're going to have you back on again though for that. Giancarlo, I want to come back to you, though. For aspiring entrepreneurs out there who look up to entrepreneurs are going out there making it and often making mistakes. It's not just the glamour and the bright lights of, the entrepreneurial stories. How long did it take you to become an overnight success? Well, I mean, years and then instantly. What is your advice that you would give to never give up on the dream of making a difference in the lives of Africans?
Thank you very much for that question, Michael. The message I would like to get across is find something you're passionate about, find a need, make sure that you know that you're solving a problem. For us, it was that mother that struggles with that peace of mind with her daughter that can't use her asthma pump. That's what drove us through those difficult times in terms of not having investment, etc. But again, bringing it back to the mom, bringing it back to the need, bringing it back to the problem we're trying to solve. Once you focus on that, you know your mission, your vision is to help that patient, help that person, help that customer. That's what really pushes and drives you as an entrepreneur, especially through those difficult times.
Very inspiring story, fantastic advice, and we hope that we've touched at least one listener out there who is harboring dreams of becoming the next Giancarlo Birkus, the co-founder of South African-based company Impulse Biomedical, who's joined by Kendo Lewis-Gale, founder and chairman of the Harambee Entrepreneur Alliance. It's all about building robustness in the African entrepreneurship ecosystem, and the Harambee Entrepreneur Alliance, with its 14th class, is demonstrating with unicorns under their belt and all that it's a model that's destined for great things.